Good morning. If you'd like, you can go ahead and open to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. Working from home and having a job that really doesn't revolve around holidays, and kids are homeschooled. As I was preparing and trying to look for something that I thought would be a blessing, it took a little bit to realize that today would be Easter when I spoke. And so when it finally dawned on me that that was the case, I looked up Easter in the concordance, and the word occurs one time in the Bible. And as I got there, I started looking up the definitions of Easter. And the first definition is the Paschal sacrifice. The second, the Paschal lamb. Well, what's Paschal mean? So I looked that up in the dictionary. And it all points to the Passover, which led me to Exodus 12. Let's read some of this chapter together. Exodus 12, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor soddened at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. There's the command. Now skip down to verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of ye shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. That was the day of the Passover, the day that preceded the night the Lord would pass through. Verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. This chapter is generally familiar to many of us. I've read it many times. But as I was reading it this last time, as I was studying this, there were a few verses that caught my attention. And Lord willing, this morning, I'll show those verses, and I pray that he'll enable me to bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ through them and provide a reminder for us, those of us who need reminding so very often because we forget so very quickly just how great things our Lord has done for us. The first verse that really caught my attention was verse 30. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. This statement hit close to home this year. Many of us in this congregation, many of us that we've heard of, have gone through some relatively serious medical events here of just late. There was not a house where there was not one dead. What is it that causes us to live with this sentence of death over us? We read in Romans 5:12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every house, and for us this morning, every house, this physical body in which a soul dwells, every house, we are all under the same condemnation. We have all sinned. We have all transgressed God's command. We are all guilty. And yet this is what we say by nature. We think to ourselves, I see that command that you made there. I see it. I understand why you said it. But God, you just don't understand. I have to disobey that, and I'm justified in doing so because of the events surrounding me. We justify ourselves. In our sin and in our pride, we believe God to be one such as we are. But thank God, He is nothing like us. He is holy. He is just. He is sovereign. He alone does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. We are his subjects, and we have rebelled, and we are under his just condemnation. What are we to do? Can we straighten up and fly right? Can we say, I'm going to do better today? Yesterday's done. I'm already guilty. By nature, we make a promise to ourselves. I can keep this law. I'm going to take one of these laws that you command and I'm going to keep it. That'll make me justified. Today, I'm not going to murder anybody. I can keep that one. I'll justify myself that way. We run to God's law, thinking it will make us acceptable before him. Even if we could keep one law. Hold your place here and turn to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. As we sinners by nature, sinners by choice, and sinners by practice, run to the law to justify ourselves therein. Look at Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, all of us who are running to the law to justify ourselves before it, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why are we under the curse? For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth every moment of every day, awake or asleep. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all, not just one, not just some, continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You can go back to Exodus 12. God is holy. His law is holy. We are sinners. Opposed by nature, we neither can nor will keep his law. Just as the people of Israel so long ago were held captive in Egypt, we are born in sin and shame. These children of Israel, about to go through this Passover, were born under their bondage. 400 years or so before, Israel had freely gone down into Egypt. And during the course of time, they were made to be slaves. None of these children of Israel went down to Egypt themselves. But because of what their father did, they were under bondage and enslaved. Just like us. Because of what my father did, I am born dead in trespasses and sins. And I continue living in it. I thrive in it without the Lord having mercy upon me. Is there any hope for one born in such a condition? Back in Exodus 12, verse 5. Exodus 12, 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Skip down to verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Is there any hope for one born dead in trespasses and sins, one born with the curse upon them? Israel found hope. Verse 13, the blood, oh, the precious blood, shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you. Israel took a lamb, and they separated that lamb from all the others, and they observed it to ensure that it was a lamb without spot or blemish. And then they killed that lamb. That lamb had to die. It couldn't just be injured. They couldn't just take some of his blood. It had to die. And then they hid behind that lamb's blood applied to their house. Every house in Egypt that night had blood, had death in it. Either the plague and curse killed the firstborn, or the lamb, appointed by God for those that he would redeem, died. There are a few things I want to consider concerning this physical lamb before we turn and behold our Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. First, this Lamb was appointed by God as the substitute for those he would redeem before judgment came into the land. Secondly, this Lamb was a valuable Lamb. I grew up surrounded by dairy farms, and Dad was a friend of many of those farmers, and I can remember going, particularly one farmer's house, we went many times, and he would take us out into the fields, and he knew his cows, and he would point to a cow and say, "See that cow? She's a good milker. And you see that cow? She's the calf of that cow. She's a good milker. And that cow is a calf of that cow. She's a good milker." That good milking cow had offspring that was a good milking cow. You hear the same thing when racehorses are talked about. They'll talk about this racehorse, especially if it's doing well, and they'll point to its lineage, particularly if it comes from a famous racehorse. I'll say that one came from that one, and they're good racehorses. This lamb, taken out of the flocks of Israel, was a valuable lamb. It was a male of the first year in his prime, and it was a male without spot or blemish. This is a ram that a shepherd would have looked at and gone, "I want to breed that ram. That ram will increase my flock. That ram will make my flock to be better. It'll improve the longevity of my flock." And that shepherd would have immediately known, we're taking a valuable lamb as a sacrifice. And the final thing I want to consider concerning this sacrificed lamb is it did not die the standard death of a sheep. The blood of a lamb slaughtered for its meat holds absolutely no value. It's kind of in the way. It's just got to be dealt with and gotten rid of. There's no value in it when you're looking to have a lamb to eat. But this lamb, being slaughtered, its blood was captured in a basin to be set aside. For that blood must be placed on the door, or the curse is upon my house. We came to this topic with the question, how can a sinner against God, under the just condemnation of death, be spared from the curse? The answer from God Almighty is, when I see the blood. Is this any blood, or is this particular blood? On the night of the Passover, it was the blood of the Lamb without spot and without blemish, which God looked for, which only represented and pictured for us our Lord Jesus Christ, the appointed of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Only the sinner under the blood of Christ shall be set free from the curse. Why must it be Christ's blood alone? Hold your place here and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. Why must it be Christ's blood alone? 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know, there are some things we know, and this is one of them. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. If we weren't redeemed by that, what were we redeemed by? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. While the blood of the lamb offered on the night of the Passover was valuable, it was valuable in the eyes of the shepherds. It was valuable in the eyes of those who hid behind it that night. But that blood of that physical lamb that night was precious in God's sight only because it pointed to our Lord Jesus Christ. His blood is precious because of who He is. It is the blood of God manifest in the flesh. It is the blood of the only begotten of the Father. It is the blood of the seed of woman, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. It's the blood of the only man who stands righteous before the law. And that is the reason it must be Christ's blood alone to atone for our sin. His blood is the only blood without the disease of sin. Everything about me I inherited from my father, who inherited from his father, who inherited from his father. And the only thing that we've inherited is dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus Christ, being a man, and yet so much more than a man, He is the man in whom dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ is God the Son. His blood is precious to the Father. And it is precious to those of us whom He has redeemed. Just as that lamb slain for the Passover died an unusual death, so did our Lord. Having committed no sin, being righteous before the law, how can he die? The wages of sin is death, not the wages of righteousness. He went about doing good. And we can't even enter in to what that means. There is one good. God is good. None else. One day, maybe, we'll know what that means. He went about doing good. Go to Calvary's Mount, to the cross upon which our Lord hangs. There we see how God is just and the justifier of sinful men. Upon that cross, Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, was made sin. There is a payment which must be made for our sins, and it is death. Christ Jesus took our sin and bore them in His body upon that tree. There He hangs, suffering the just punishment of my sin in Himself. Just as the Passover lamb was slain and died so that the curse, the plague, would not come to Israel that night, we read over in 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Return in your mind's eye once again to the day on which Israel slew that lamb. That lamb was slain. The blood was caught in a basin. Think of the horror those people must have realized. The Almighty God, Jehovah, I Am, was coming through Egypt that night. Any house without the blood placed upon the door would endure the curse. The man slaying the lamb had the thought of the preciousness of this blood he was capturing. Then, having gathered the blood, he takes hyssop and soaks it in the basin to apply the blood. He goes to his house. Does he take that hyssop and just, okay, I'm done, and move on? I don't think so. This man knew the seriousness of what was coming through. He understood the curse that he was under. He wants there to be no doubt that blood has been shed for this house. He takes that hyssop and he paints that entire doorway. He covers it heavily with blood on the lintel and on the side post. I imagine he tried as well as he could to cover every grain of wood with the blood so that not a single grain was left uncovered. We sinners have this promise: when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do we not cry out, "Lord, forbid that I should trust in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Cover me thoroughly from head to toe, top to bottom. Cover me in His blood. Let nothing be left uncovered." Return back to Exodus 12. As I mentioned, there was a few verses that caught my attention reading this account. Verse 30, "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. The curse is upon us." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the the land of Egypt. We read in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the final verse that caught my attention is verse 1. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. What condescending grace that God was pleased to speak to men. Men in a vile land, men who are the children of a rebellious father, men who are rebels themselves, yet it pleased the Lord to speak to them, to make known to them that salvation was accomplished, that judgment is coming, but that the Lamb had been provided for their redemption. Thanks be to God. He has not stopped speaking to men. We have the sure word of God, and he is still revealing himself through the preaching of Christ Jesus crucified. Is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ precious to you? If God is ever pleased to reveal himself to you, if you're ever made to know that you are a sinner against the true and living God who needs a refuge because the curse is upon you, when he reveals that Christ Jesus is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, his blood shall be precious to you. May he make it more and more precious to each of us.